Today, I want to examine three words. Three words I want to look at. So if you're taking notes, and I'm sorry we don't have stuff up here, I want to examine three words. Three words I want to look at today is faith, trust, and obedience. Faith, trust, and obedience. Without faith, you don't have trust. And without trust, you don't have obedience. Think it through. Faith, trust, and obedience. This is nothing new. What I'm talking about today, you've heard before over and over and over again. You know, each week we meet here to recharge, re-energize our faith, to kind of get back, because we live in such a broken world and things happening out there that we need to come in and go, whew, recharge that spiritual battery that's inside of us to be able to walk back outside those doors to take on that world. And so this stuff today is really designed to strengthen that and to re-energize that. You know, my wife drinks this thing from Avacare called Spark. Anybody drink that know what Spark is? Spark is a caffeine drink, really. It's an energy drink that, believe it or not, it actually brings energy. I used to drink energy drinks when I worked midnights, and it would never affect me, but for some reason, Spark always got to. So today, I want to kind of spark that faith inside you. Today, I want you to have that shot of spark to energize you and lift you up. If you will, open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Again, it's Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to start at the very beginning there. Hebrews chapter 11 defines faith as this, starting there at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence things not seen. The faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, so what we're trying to say is we're asking you to believe in a God that we have never seen, never touched. We're asking you to believe in a word, a Bible that was written thousands of years ago by men but inspired by God. We're asking you to believe in a faith that no one's ever seen or heard of, but men have died for. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is here saying is it's the substance of things hoped for. We hope for that everlasting life, that eternal kingdom in heaven, but it's the evidence of things not seen. As we look further, what is commonly known as the faith chapter here in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer here breaks it out beautifully, and I love the rhyme of what's going on here. You see, that same faith that many have gone out and literally died for is what they're trying to break down right here. That same faith that people today in 2014 are being persecuted for. Today. You can't go into North Korea and go, I'm a Christian. Come talk to me of Jesus. You won't make it far. You won't make it far. That same faith that people are still being persecuted for today. The same persecution that we read back in the Old Testament and back in the New Testament as time goes on. And so the writer of Hebrews really breaks it down for us, and he says this, and this is beautifully. He goes, by faith we understand the words were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. By that same faith, he dwelt in the land of the promises in foreign country, dwelling in the tents with Isaac and Jacob. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who he promised. By faith, Abraham, when he was testing, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up only his only begotten son, of whom it was said. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons, Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because he was a beautiful child. And by that same faith, Moses, when he became aged, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea by dry land, which the Egyptians attempted to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled by 7 days. And by faith, the heart of Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And he goes on to say, what more shall I say? That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That right there is a beautiful picture of faith that God calls upon us. That faith that he calls upon us to step out on. That many people have done and continue to do. Modern day examples of by faith. By faith, a man packs up his two small children, leaving behind financial security to go into a country that is poor, violent, and spiritually dead. A faith that has had him climb 6,000 feet to a mountain, to a village, to share the love of Christ. Because that is what God has called him to do. By faith, a man in China began to dream about receiving a Bible. Coming to know the Lord at age 16, he knew he was being called into this ministry. One morning at 4 a.m., he received a Bible, and so eager to learn it, he memorized the entire Gospel of Matthew. Think about this. He memorized the entire Gospel of Matthew. You know why he did that? Because he was not allowed to carry his Bible where he went. He had to pull it from here, and he memorized the entire Gospel of Matthew. Guys, this is modern times here. At times, he was forced to bury the Bible in the ground to keep opposition forces from taking the living word from him. Later, by faith, he was beaten and tortured because of his belief in Almighty God, but his faith never wavered but strengthened. And by faith, today in 2010, a tribe in Indonesia worked tirelessly to translate the New Testament into their language so that they too could study and read the words of our Almighty God. They worked tirelessly. Today, in 2010, they still did not have the Bible in their language. As a matter of fact, I want y'all to watch and see how they, I want y'all to pay attention to this. I got a short little video, and I want you to pay attention to how they react to this time.
Traffic advisory, Mike Alpha Delta from Sentani to Corpo. Now crossing the ridge just above Sela, maintaining 1-2000. There'll be a big party when we land. They'll be dancing and singing and... that'll be pretty amazing.
Pastor had said, it says in the Gospel of John that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Jesus is that Word, and Jesus is coming, and we need to be there to meet Him. Just blew me out of the water. I thought, Lord, this is how we know that it's You doing something here.
No, no, no.
And then they handed it off to the older believers, and one of the ladies, just spontaneously, I don't think they had planned for her to say anything, but she just said, "We have taken God's word, we've accepted it, we've put it into our hearts, and now we're going to give it to you young people who need to also take it and accept it and walk with God as he teaches in this Bible." You know, so they handed it off to the younger believers, and, you know, the crying and the sobbing that took place there was just, it was something totally unexpected to me, because I knew they would be happy. But the emotion that came out was just so overwhelming to me. I thought, we have no idea. You know, we have had the Word of God for so long. We have taken it for granted. We have resources. We have translations. We have, you know, all these different things. And we don't cherish it. We don't realize what a precious gift we have and hold in our hands. And these guys were realizing that and saying, God, you've come to us through the Word.
To put it in perspective for you and make you realize how lucky we are. You see, when my daughter Taylor was born in 2007, and she was born at Hillcrest Hospital, they walked in and literally handed Taylor a Bible when she was born. It had her name on it. Literally had her own Bible when she was an infant, before we left the hospital. How many of y'all have multiple Bibles in your house? Multiple Bibles. Yet this village is having a party because they are receiving the living Word. A plane is landing and bringing them something that is invaluable. Something that they could live on. By faith, they are strong. Without faith, we don't have trust. You've got to learn who the Almighty God is, who the Almighty God is, in order to trust what he has in store for us. You got to learn who he is and why we believe what we believe to move forward to answer that call, to move forward and understand that trust. A good example of this is in 1 Samuel, chapter 17. Everybody knows the story, and you don't have to turn there. I'll paraphrase for you. But it's the story of David and Goliath. You see, David had faith. He found favor in the sight of the Lord. So faith was not a question, and neither was trust, by the way. And so David hears of this Philistine who is there to step forward and say, "Who dare takes on me?" Let me give you an illustration. Dennis, if you can, and Kurt, come on up. I tried to find the one smallest person in the sanctuary I could find and the biggest person I could find. Biggest person I could find. Sorry, Goliath. All right. So I want to give you all an illustration to understand what trust really is. You see, David was a faithful man, boy, who found favor in God. Who found favor in God. And David was out working the sheep and out doing his stuff, and he was picked and chosen, "You're going to be the next king." And so David steps up. Well, then his brothers go off to war, and they're off to go off and fight. And David goes out to say, "Hey, what y'all doing?" Like a little brother would. He goes out to see what's going on and sees, wow, that's a big army. And then he sees the giant walk up going, "Who wants to take on me?" What I like about this is the way that they break down and how large of a man and how large of a person Goliath really was. His height was 6 cubits in span. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had a bronze arm on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. He was a big dude, and he looked mean. You'll do. And so, but I want you to understand that the Bible, what I like is the writer is telling you, they want you to understand the full illustration of what David, young David, is facing. And then they go on to describe David, how he's small and like a young youth. And so that day he walks up and he sees that giant of a guy step forward and go, "What y'all got? What y'all got?" Over and over and over again, he's stepping out, "What y'all got? You're such a bully. What y'all got? What do you got?" And he steps up, and David sees this, and he looks and he goes, "Who defiles the Lord's army?" David's upset. You should be. Way to go. Good job. All right, so stay put. Don't move. And so David says, "I can do this." And of course, a big brother, the way he was, big brother goes, "What? What? No, you can't." Of course, King Saul hears of this and says, "Hey, bring David forward to me. Bring David up to me." And David comes up and before King Saul, and King Saul says, "You're just a youth. You're just a young lad. You're just a boy. How are you going to do this?" And I love this. I pointed this out to our youth this last Wednesday. He said, but David said to Saul, "Your servant," I'm at verse 34 if you really want to see, of chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth.'" Did y'all hear what I said? He said, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it." That's a bad dude, y'all. That is a bad dude. "Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and I will treat this Goliath like one of them." And he says this, "Moreover," David said, "the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." You understand that not only did David have faith, but he trusted in God to deliver him in that time. He knew who the Almighty God, and so he knew when he would face that Goliath. He's a big dude, isn't he? He's a big dude, yeah. Is he bigger than you? Yeah, I would say. You know what? Goliath is actually way bigger. It was crazy. And so When he stepped forward, and what's crazy, this is King Saul said, give him some armor. And so David puts on the armor, and he can't even move. He can't move. And he says, take it off. I can't do this. And he goes up. He takes it. You don't have to do it. It's okay. I don't want you to hit me. And so he takes up, swing, hits Goliath, and takes him out because of the power of God. Y'all can have a seat. Thank you. You see, with faith comes trust. Often God calls us to take on those giants in our lives, those mountains in our lives. He asks us to take on those things, and we do that because we know, A, the Lord God Almighty will carry us through. But there's a bigger difference between understanding and going and doing. You see, we can say, yep, God's got it. But to actually step out and go and do it is two different things. Break it down. And that's what David did. David went and said, my God will deliver me from this. He already has, and he will. And so when David steps up, because of that man, that behemoth of a person, that Goliath, he knew God would be right there to say, I've got your back. I will fight for you. And that's what he did. And that's what he did. From faith, we have trust. From faith, we understand the Almighty God. And from faith, we know God will deliver us. And so we turn in that direction, and we begin to walk, and we begin to trust in him. Unconditional trust. And through that trust, we learn obedience in God. We learn obedience in God. We learn that, okay, God, I'm yours. And from there, we go, okay, God, I know you will. And so now I'm going to take a step and I'm going to move forward in that direction because I know you got me. See, God calls us to do extraordinary things. When my friend Shannon Hopkins, who works for 61 Isaiah Ministries, came to me and said, Phil, I'm going to move to Honduras. I said, Shannon, you're doing what? He goes, I'm going to move to Honduras and I want to minister. I'm going to be a missionary in Honduras. And I said, Shannon, you're an excellent youth minister, and I kind of use you to kind of bounce ideas and stuff. No, you can't go. No, you're mine. No, you can't do that. And he said, no, God has called me to go out there. I said, Shannon, I don't understand, you see, because you have two small children. You understand what God's calling you to do. You're going to go and go over there and take two small children into Honduras, a third world country. And he said, yes. Shannon had faith. He had trust, and he followed through with obedience. And today, he's working with 30 churches, seeing many, many people come to know the Lord, and continues to inspire not only the people in Honduras, but people right here in the United States. God calls us to do the extraordinary, but we must understand that he's got our back, and we must trust in him. When we know that he has called us to do those things, we must give complete, unconditional trust and not go, I don't know. You sure? You must understand that he's got you. Over and over and over again, we see where God has fought for his people. Over and over and over again. When we see when God's people were running from the Egyptian, running from their slave owners, and they went and they go across the Red Sea, how the sea was parted, they ran through, and as they ran through, God closed the waters down, drowning out the army behind them. We see that with Gideon, who took and not only downsized his army, but took it on because God said, do that. We see that over and over again with Joshua, and we see it on up until the cross, where God sent his only begotten son to die on my cross to fight for me. When we have faith, we have trust, and from trust, we have obedience. We see that same obedience in Joshua chapter 3. In verse 14, guys, I know I'm moving around, but bear with me here. In Joshua chapter 3 of verse 14, Joshua has already taken over. Moses passed away. Joshua has taken over. He's already sent the spies over to look and see in the promised land. And so now it's time. Now it's time to go into the promised land. Verse 14 says this. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, when the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they bore the ark, came to the Jordan. And the feet of the priest who bore the ark dipped the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from the upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away. So let's make sure we understand this, guys. Don't skip over this. This is important stuff. You see, Joshua was a very faithful man, and he trusted God. He saw his mentor Moses, and he trusted God. And so that day when God said, now it's time to go and be obedient, he did. Because when that Jordan came, they didn't stop and go, okay, God, part the waters. Read the scripture. He didn't say, okay, God, part the waters. What they did, as soon as they tipped, when they stepped their toe into the waters, the waters parted. Do you understand what I'm saying? They made that step knowing God was going to be faithful. They didn't wait for God to move. They stepped and waited for God to be faithful, and knowing God to be faithful. And that's what they did. You see, if we sit back and understand the love of God and understand what the scripture tells us and we trust God, but yet we sit back and go, I trust you, I know, I've seen you work, but I don't know. And we sit back and we stand on the edge of the river, and the promised land's right there, the calling, what he wants us to do is just right over there. All we've got to do is step, and we never do. What are we doing? They stepped into the Jordan, and the waters parted. What if they just stood there? All right, God, do your thing. Who knows? They didn't. They knew, and they were faithful. Over and over and over again, you see this, where people have moved forward in that direction. They have followed that call and been obedient. The Lord has a call for each and every one of us. He has a mission for each and every one of us. If you notice, our motto, our mission, is every member a minister. Yes, I have resigned from my career as a police officer, and now I devote full time here to educate and to minister and to be here. But understand this, my call is no different than your call. I depend on the Lord to provide for my means and for my family, but I can do just as good as you can do. I can go out and reach people just like you can. You understand what I'm saying? God has a call for you. We see it in the end of Matthew in the Great Commission when he says, go. Go. He didn't say, well, ministers and pastors and people on staff at church, you go and the rest sit. No, he's saying, go. Go. And that's what he's calling us to do. We understand the love of God. We trust God. Now it's time to be obedient. I've heard this said before, and I thought it was great. You see, we called this service, and, you know, of course it's a play on words, but it's a good illustration. You see, the service is not here. This is the training ground. The service begins when you walk outside those doors. Service begins when you walk outside those doors. Faith, trust, and obedience. Go. If you sit here and take in what God is teaching you, what are we doing? God is telling us and teaching us. And I'm going to tell you something. God used a young man like David to take on a giant. So you can't tell me, students, I'm too young to do this. You know, I informed my students, you know, years ago, 10 students gathered around a flagpole at a Disciple Now. 10 students gathered to be on a flagpole. They just said, you know what? I feel burdened for my school, my church. And so in Burleson, Texas, they went out and they gathered at their school and began to pray around their flagpole. A movement began because they were faithful, trustful, and obedient to God. Now millions of people each year on that day gather around that same flagpole. Those 10 students changed the world. Changed the world. You can't say, well, I'm too old. I'm sorry, you're not. If you can still breathe, talk, walk, you can preach the word of God. You can love and serve those around you. There is so much we can learn from you. We learn in the Old Testament how they failed to teach a generation of people. They failed to teach a generation. So a whole generation was lost, and they had to start back over. So don't tell me you're too old to teach the Word of God, to be faithful and obedient. Each and every person can do the work. But you have to be willing to step forward and allow God to work. And that's what He's calling us to do. When you're faithful, when you understand God loves me, trust comes almost automatic. And when you have trust in the Lord, He will give you the strength. Then comes obedience. Go. That's what He's called us to do. The world still needs people. A tribe in Indonesia only 4 years ago didn't have the Word of God. Guess what? There are still people groups out there that do not have the Word of God. They don't have the luxury of us learning from that. But yet, you notice how they still worship the Almighty God even without a Bible? They still celebrated the fact that God, the Word of God, is coming to their community. They were aware of it. They didn't wait for the Bible to come and go, oh, this is pretty cool. They already worshiped because the Holy Spirit was already there. And so when they receive that Word, they know we can learn deeper about this God that we worship so often. There is still work to be done, church family. There is still work to be done in the community of West, the county of McLennan County, the state of Texas, United States, and the world. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Let's pray. So Father, right now, Father, we need you to guide us and lead us and strengthen us, Father. Give us the words to say when we don't know what to say, Father. Send us in the path you want us to go, Father. Father, assure us that you're there with us to guide us and carry us through those times, Father. Father, we are here to worship and adore you, God. So I pray, Father, that you speak to our hearts and minds, that if you have that goal, that mission for us, you make it clear in our minds and clear in our hearts so we can move forward, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word and the availability to let us have it, God. Thank you for the love that you have for us and how faithful you are to us, God. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you do in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray.